living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to go through verses 1 to 11 today. Got to start a new chapter in Luke, one of my favorite parts of his story in history. It's the day that Simon Peter gets a calling, a career change, from being a fisherman to a fisher of men. So next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. So you know what that means, right? It's swimming season. Yeah, all the swimming pools all over the state are going to open up next weekend. Yeah. And I have spent a lot of time around swimming pools, and whether it's competing in the water or just playing in the water, teaching lessons, and keeping people safe. I mean, I've done all of those things, spent a lot of time, love being around the pool. And one of the joys of teaching swimming is when you are able to teach a kid and they move from the shallow end to the deep end. You know, it's like a milestone in your life. You're going to never forget the day you get to jump into the deep end and you don't, like, stay down, you know. You instantly feel bigger that day, you know, and life gets more adventurous. You've got so many new things you can do. You can see how deep you can dive, and you see how high you can jump off the board. All of that because you're able to be in the deep end. Woo! That's all starting next weekend. It's good stuff. Well, as we look at this day in his story, the day Simon Peter would never forget, there's a parallel for us in going from the shallow water to the deep end of the swimming pool in our life with God. Now, as a parent, I was one who wanted my kids to move. I wanted them to make that move. You know, there was more that they could experience. There was more fun to be had. There was experience to be gained for them to be able to be in water that was over their head and they couldn't touch bottom. So I wanted them, as their dad, I wanted them to move to the deep end. And you know, it is the same with God. He wants us to go from the shallow life with Him to the deep end with Him. The deeper into His story. That's where He's calling us to go. It's deeper into the waters of eternal life. It's a growth in grace and knowledge of Jesus. It's working out our salvation. Now there's a mistake that believers make, because they think the path to the deeper life is found in deeper study. And they start diving into God's Word, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. That's a good thing. So you got to hear me on this. But that will not satisfy this calling, this hunger you have to have a deeper life with God. And Jesus, He taught in John chapter 5, verse 39. He said, you study the Scriptures, you possess those, you think that by them you possess eternal life. But those point to Me. And that's where we find deeper life with God in Christ. So going deeper into His story, it is definitely going to go through this book. You won't get there without this book. But the thing is, it doesn't stop here. The deeper life is found in deeper obedience, in a closer walk with God, in a greater trust. So don't hear me say that study is not important. Okay, don't hear that. It is very important, because if you don't know, you won't go. But this isn't the end. This is the means to the end. And so Jesus shows us a way today to go from the shallow end to the deep end as He calls Peter, Simon Peter, greater and greater obedience. Let's read it together and hear God call us to the deep end with Him. Stand for the reading of God's Word. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. It is so good to read and hear how Jesus dives into our lives and calls us into life with him. Father, speak to our hearts today. Each one of us, we are at different places with you. And I pray that you might speak and show us the next step in our life with you as we go through these words. Pray the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock, my redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So if you want to go deeper into his story, we're going to have to be faithful in the small things. Faithful in the small things. Verses 1 and 2, it sets up a special day at the Lake of Gennesaret. Normally on the lake, it was just about lake things. You know, fishermen fishing, maybe some kids playing. But this was the place that was the livelihood of a town. This was the place where they got their food. This was the place how people made their living. And so normally that's what was going on at the lake. But this is a special day because Jesus is there. And he's teaching. And there's this huge crowd of people there following him around. And they are hungry. Hungry for the word of God. And they're desperate. Desperate for a touch from God. And so they're kind of pressing in on Jesus. So can you picture the Lord just standing on the beach there, maybe with his back to the water. And this crowd is just growing and pushing and pushing. Getting right up in his face. And so he has a little bit of a problem there. He's got a crowd control problem. And he looks over and he sees a couple of empty boats there, and he gets a crowd control idea. And then he sees a familiar face. He sees Simon. And so he asks Simon, "Simon," gets in his boat, "Simon, could you put me out a little bit?" Simon's like, "Yeah, I could do that." And he obliges Jesus. Simple obedience. And Simon was faithful to help out. And then Jesus goes on teaching the people about the kingdom of God. Now, this isn't the first interaction Simon has had with Jesus. He knows who he is by this time. I mean, the timetable of history has moved on from the end of chapter 4. I mean, that was a busy ministry day for Jesus on the Sabbath. You remember, he was fighting demons and he was fighting diseases. And it lasted all day into the night and into the next morning. So that is in the past, and so we're on forward from that, but this is just one occasion. So we don't really know when it happened, but it seems to be early in Jesus' ministry here. But Simon now, he's familiar with the Lord. He knows who he is, and he knows what he can do. He knows about his authority. He knows about his power. He's got personal experience with that in his own home. So this request from the Lord, it really wasn't a big deal for Simon. You know, just something small that he could do to help out. Just put me out a little bit in the boat. Help me keep this crowd under control so I can teach. I mean, I kind of think Simon might have felt a little pride that day. You know, here, this great man of God asked me to do something. Maybe he felt a little honor that he could help out. Certainly he must have felt a little satisfaction that he could do something for Jesus when Jesus had already done something for his mother-in-law. Remember, he healed his mother-in-law. So there Simon is, you know, just doing something for the Lord. And I'm just getting something out of that. So whatever the case, this is a calling. a calling from Jesus to Simon to take a first step of obedience. Just a small thing, and Simon was faithful and he helped out. Well, can you remember the day that Jesus got into your boat? You remember that? You remember that day? Maybe you don't have a day. You know, not everybody has a day, but they have a time in their life when they realize Jesus is in it. Well, I want you to understand something. That is the day you enrolled in obedience school. All right? The day that you brought your boat under the authority and command of Christ. So, you know, that word obedience, when I was a new Christian, I really didn't like it. It kind of smacked of legalism to me, and I despise legalism. It's kind of like, you know, it makes you feel like a dog and his master. You know, there's obedience schools all around the city. You can take your dog to school every week, and they will teach your dog how to be a pleasurable companion for you, to do exactly what you tell it to do, to stay out of trouble with you, you know, just to be there for you, not get in your hair. And that was kind of the sort of image that I got from the word obedience, until Jesus changed my perspective on it. In John 14:15, he said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." So for believers, obedience isn't a law thing. It's a love thing. Jesus changes that. And it's important to understand that when it comes to our relationship with God. To go deeper in our relationship with Him means we are going to go deeper in our understanding of His love for us and our love for Him. Now, more on that in a minute. Here's something else very important to understand when you're talking about going deeper with God. More obedience does not equal more love from God. Okay, you're already a pleasurable companion. If you know the Lord, He's forgiven you of your sins. God has imputed Jesus' righteousness and given it to you. He looks at you through the cross. And you have a relationship with the living God. He loves you. More obedience doesn't equal more love. You can't get more love out of God. He already loves you so much. All you can do as a believer is to try and understand how much He loves you. And to soak that in. And understand how much He wants you to go deeper with Him. So simple obedience is the place we start. To be faithful in the small things that God brings your way. So what are those things? Well, they could be a number of things. It'd be different for everybody, I would think. But I think we can kind of start with remembering what Paul taught the Colossians in Colossians 3:23-24. He said, Whatever you do, work at it heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. So God has given you your life. He's given you your family, your home, your job. He's given you all of these things. He's sovereign over that. I know that you made decisions to get where you are, but God got you where you are. Trust me. He put you. He's got you right where He wants you. And so He's given you the life that you've got. And in that, in the rhythm of your life, there's going to be small things that you can do for Him as you begin to see everything. The way you drive. Oh, watch your toe. The way you cut your grass. The way you cut your neighbor's grass. The way you cook. You're serving the Lord Christ. Small things. Be faithful in the small things. Everything you do is for Him. Gotta get that. Then in the rhythm of your life, just like Peter or Simon, there's going to be opportunities that will come along for you to serve. Things that God has for you to do, just like Jesus had something for Simon to do. I mean, he was there, fished all night. He was in the middle of cleaning up, going to go home, get some rest, frustrated. Along comes Jesus. Hey, could you do this for me? Sure, I could do that. He was faithful. So, think something. Pay for somebody's meal at lunch today. Give up your line in the bank. Help someone with their groceries at the store. Little things that we can do for the Lord as Jesus directs us. Now, what you're going to find out is those little things may be little to you, but they're big things to somebody else. They'll bless somebody else. And then they're also big things to God. He does not miss a single thing that you do for Him. Cup of cold water given to someone who's thirsty. He will see that. He will honor that. This is our first step in a deeper life with God. We never get done taking this step. It's always going to be there. But this is kind of the swim lessons, you know, to get you to do life in the deep end with God. This is the swim. This is the training. This is the place where you develop your skills to go deep. So what are we developing here? You know, it's not freestyle, backstroke, bridge. It's not those things. But we are developing a couple of things doing this simple obedience. And the first one is we develop a habit of saying yes to God. Develop a habit of saying yes to God. See, this makes you available for the deeper life. Because what it does is it wakes you up to the presence of Christ in your life every day, every hour of the day, every conversation you have. Every moment you become aware of His presence. You are serving a king. And so as your life becomes a life of serving the Lord, you're aware of His presence and it wakes you up. So you develop this habit of serving the Lord, of saying yes to God. You know, if you're not in the habit of saying yes to God, you'll never get to the deep end. You'll never go deep into obedience with Him. And then what happens? What happens is life with God gets boring and dry and self-centered. That's what happens. Now, the other fundamental is that we develop our identity as a servant. When we're faithful in the small things, we will develop our identity as a servant. Mark chapter 10, 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus was a servant. If we're going to be like Him, if we're going to know Him, we're going to own that identity of being a servant. So there's no way we'll go deeper with Him into His story unless we take on that identity. And to know Him more, we're going to see ourselves as people who are here to serve God by serving others and to give them life by giving up ours. All starts by being faithful in the small things. You know, last week I was looking for somebody to help in cleaning with the church. And so I called Jim and Kathy Urey, or actually emailed them. And it wasn't a day that went by, and I get an email back. "Yeah, we could do that. Thanks for asking." High five. That's it. I think that's exactly what Simon thought. Now, he didn't say anything. We don't have it in the Word. He didn't say anything. But Jesus says, "Hey, could you put me out a little bit? Could you put me out? I need to control this crowd. I need to teach them." I can do that. Thanks for asking. Be faithful in the small things. That's kind of life in the shallow end. Now, verses 4 to 10, obedience moves to another level. Another level here. And we're going to see how we need to be willing in the difficult things. Jesus gets done preaching, and He calls Simon to go fishing. He says, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon, he kind of responds with a little attitude, kind of, "You know, really? We just finished fishing all night, didn't catch anything. You want us to go out again? Really?" Now, I think he had that attitude because of the exclamation point at the end of his first sentence there. Makes me think that he's thinking, "Look, I'm the fisherman, you're the preacher, you preach, I'll fish, no one gets hurt." Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of where he's at. So this is no longer simple obedience anymore. Because the cost of doing this just went up. Simon has to sacrifice Simon to be able to follow there. So he sacrificed physically. The last thing he wanted to do was go back out fishing after an all-night, no-catching experience. He had to sacrifice mentally what he knew about fishing. The fish aren't there. This is crazy. He had to sacrifice his position. He had to take a second seat in his own boat to Jesus. He had to sacrifice his will for Jesus' will. And I'll tell you, that's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing for us to do, but it is absolutely necessary if we're going to get deeper with God. If we aren't willing to follow Jesus in things like this, we'll never get to where He wants us to go and live the kind of life that Jesus lived when He walked this earth. What kind of life was that? Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So to know Jesus in a deeper way, we're going to know him like this. We're going to know what it's like to sacrifice ourselves for other people. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. But he didn't cling to that. He said, I'll become human. And so he did. He made himself nothing like a servant. And then his whole life was this demonstration of real love. His whole life. He did not use his position to elevate himself. He used his position to elevate everyone else. Think of all the times he argued with a Pharisee. And just think about that. You're having a theological argument with the Son of the Living God. And Jesus did that. Think about when he just sort of let himself be arrested. Think about when he was being interrogated by Pilate and he just stood there silent. In fact, even not even thinking anything in his mind. It's an incredible submission. I mean, think about all the people that came to him wanting something from him, but not wanting him. There's submission to learn here. There's sacrifice to learn here. There's suffering to endure here. All of those things. Now, those are three words that make going to the deep end less appetizing for our flesh. But they are three words that will bring a revival to your spirit. Those three things. Now, Simon, he gets it half right. Instead of refusing to go back out, he says, Master, because you said so, we're going. No matter how I feel right now, no matter what I know about fishing, because you asked, we'll go. So, high five, Simon. He's willing to do something difficult because Jesus asked. Now, how is that only half right? Sounds like it's all right. Well, Simon was motivated by the law. At your word, we'll go. That was all he knew. That was all he knew. When he said yes to God, it was because that was because what God said to do. And that's how he knew to relate to God. But when we say yes to God, we want it to be because of love, not because he said. It's a little different. See, these sacrificial, difficult things that God calls us to, they are opportunities that take us deeper in our knowledge of his love for us. And as we understand that, our love goes up. Now, his sacrifice, his submission, his sufferings, they started at Christmas and they ended at the cross. An incredible demonstration through his life of what it looks like to love other people. And to know him more, to go deeper with him in his story, means we're going to know something of that kind of life. There's a story that's told from the Civil War days. It was before the slaves were freed. So there was this northerner who came down to a southern slave auction. And he purchased a young slave girl. And on the way away from the auction, he turns to her and he says, "You are free." And she looks at him and she says, "Free? You mean free to do what I want to do?" "Yeah, free." "Free to be who I want to be?" "Yes, you're free to be who you want to be." "Free to say what I want to say?" "Yes, you can say whatever you want to say." "Free to go wherever I want to go?" He's smiling. "Yes, free to go wherever you want to go." And she thinks about that for a minute and she looks at him and says, "Well, I think I want to go with you." And that is exactly the same response that a heart that has been freed from sin, from slavery to sin, has for our Savior. "I want to go with you." This is now a love thing. We love because he first loved us. We love, get that? We can't drum it up. We can't make ourselves love God. It comes because He loved us first. Now, Paul prayed a prayer over the Ephesians at the end of chapter 3. And it's a great description of this deeper life in his story, in Jesus. The deep end with God. And love is the central theme of this prayer. Here, it's Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will give you mighty inner strength through His Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's life in the deep end. You know, the deep end with God has no bottom. And there is no bottom to His love. And the more we grow in our understanding of Christ's love for us, the more our love for Him will grow because of the Holy Spirit in us. And then that is what causes us to be willing to do the difficult things. When we understand His love and how incredible that is, our love for Him grows, and then we're willing to do the difficult things. I mean, if you look at what happened to Simon. I mean, look at what happened. They say, yes, let's go out fishing. They get this miraculous catch. So much, the nets are breaking, so much, get the other boats over here. Filled up both of them so they were sinking. I mean, this is a miracle that's going to bless so many people. And it blessed Simon. Simon ends up on his knees as he begins to understand the way that Jesus loves him. He knew he didn't deserve a boat full of fish because he didn't have his heart in disobedience. There he is in a sopping wet, in a puddle of his own humility. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Some self-humiliation going on there as he sees how much Jesus loves him and how inadequate he is to love him back. You know, you won't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus until somehow, some way, you end up in the same puddle of humiliation as Simon is in. Being humbled. Now, it doesn't sound like a good thing, but it is actually a growth thing. Growing in our understanding of how much Jesus loves us. How much He's done for us. Now, this obedience I'm talking about, it is difficult. It is difficult. You will not always say yes to the opportunities that come your way. You're not always going to say yes for the right reasons. Not always going to respond to these opportunities to sacrifice and submit and suffer. Not always going to say yes to that. And when you get there, you are at the end of yourself. And what you do is turn to God and ask for forgiveness. That you can't take another step on this road. And He will pour out His grace on you to help you go one more day. That's who He is. So this morning, is there a situation in your life that maybe you're just not willing to take a step of obedience because the price that you have to pay is huge? It just feels too big. Is there something in your life that you're just clinging onto with white knuckle grip and it's keeping you from the deep end with God? Well, if that's you, or if those describe anything in your life like that, I would suggest taking a look at His love for you again. Look at His life. Look at His death. And then look at your life without Him. And boy, let that love reaction happen. Understand His love. Your love will increase. It will humble you. And then let Him be your example. And follow Him. Follow Him in the difficult things. He will help you do it. Sacrifice yourself. Submit to His will. This is probably what that means. It means you're going to have to submit to somebody that you don't want to submit to. And then endure the suffering. Endure the suffering. Listen, on the other side of this is blessing. Blessing for you. Blessing for so many people. That's how the gospel works. When you give up your life, life is given to other people. Follow in Jesus' footsteps. And guess what else is there? So much joy. Knowing that you did what Jesus called you to do. Joy. Being in the center of the Master's will. So be willing in the difficult things. And you're going to find yourself deeper in his story. Now the last verse and a half is going to call us to be daring in the big things. Verses 10b to 11. Let me read those again. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I love Jesus' response to Simon's self-humiliation. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to change your profession. Don't be afraid. I'm going to use you. The man who's in his own self-humiliation. I'm going to use you to grow the kingdom. Don't be afraid to get into the deep end with me. And when they got back to land, says they followed him. They walked away from two boats full of fish. There was a lot of money in those two boats. There was a lot of livelihood there. There was a business there. They walked away. They walked away from family. They abandoned it all to follow Jesus. To become fishers of men. Life in the deep end is going to involve some radical obedience. Radical. You're a servant of the King. Your life is His. It's in His hands. You walk away from the life that you have to live His life. To live the life that He wants you to live. So this is about surrender and it's about trust. Those two things. You won't go where Jesus wants you to go in the deep end. You won't do radical obedience until you surrender it all. And the biggest thing that keeps us from surrendering it all is fear. Fear. Fear of who we are. You know, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Fear that God is not who He says He is or has been in the past. Fear that He's going to ask me to do something that I cannot do. He will. Fear that I'll fail trying. Fear. We're afraid of so many things. And we need to be daring. Now you know those 10-meter towers that they have at the Olympics, right? As a picture of one. You know, when I was 16 years old, that was the first time I climbed the ladder to jump off the top one. Actually, it was down at IU. You know, you just don't go there. Crazy things happen. But I'm down there and I'm on the ladder, you know, somewhere waiting in this line of swimmers and waiting to get up there to jump off. And every now and then, someone would come back down the ladder. And it was really annoying, you know, because you're like hanging off the ladder. You don't want to fall. So when it's my turn, I get up there and I kind of sneak out to the edge, you know, put one foot there and put the other foot there. And then all of a sudden, involuntarily, my knees start to shake. I didn't think I was afraid of heights, but man, down there looking up did not look like this. I'm on top of the Empire State Building right now. And so I just was not going to suffer the humiliation of going back down the ladder. So, stepped off into the wild blue yonder, and in like 5 seconds, it was over. That's how radical obedience is going to feel You know, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's a great verse for our life. You graduates are going to see it in your cards. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. But you know, the thing is, if we stay in the shallow end, we'll never have to apply that verse. We'll never have to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our understanding if we stay in the shallow end where it's safe. We have to be daring. We have to be daring in some big things. Take a leap of faith. You know, climb the tower. Take a leap of faith with God. Faith is what overcomes our fear. Faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Fear never goes away. It just gets overcome by our faith. So where difficult obedience, you know, sacrifices ourself, this is a sacrifice of everything, of our whole life, laying it down at the feet of the Lord and saying, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. When was the last time you risked something for God? Where you took a risk? Where you were daring for Him? You heard Him call and you took a step and you obeyed. When was the last time? You know, Jesus says to Simon, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You know, from a fisherman to a fisher of men. And that's the same thing He wants to do with you. And I'm telling you, there is nothing that our nation needs more than some Christians who will decide, who will be daring to become fishers of men. There is millions of people headed to an eternity in hell, separated from God forever with no hope of ever getting out. And we're afraid to tell them about the answer. We need to be daring. And you wouldn't want to just rely on the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, or the people with the spiritual gift of evangelism. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you can evangelize. And that's what our nation needs. That's what our world needs. What you're reading about in the headlines is a result of sin in the heart of man. And the gospel is the answer. And we need to tell people about Jesus. Coming up in about 60 days, we're holding a Jubilee sale. A Jubilee clothing sale. And the goal of this event is to give away as many clothes as we possibly can so that we can call attention to the love that Jesus has for people. Okay? I'm not worried about clothing people. I'm worried about telling people about Jesus and how much He loves them. That's what this sale is all about. Come here, big tent, huge clothes. Take as much as you want. We'll load your trunk up. We'll load your car up. We're giving it all away free. No strings attached. No invitation to come to the church. No free will offering. It's all free. Why? Because Jesus gave His life for us freely. And He told us to give away freely. It's an opportunity to be daring on July 18th. To walk somebody around and help them, love them, feed them, fill their car up. Why? Because Jesus loves you that much. And then just see what God will do with those conversations. That's gospel love. All the cost, all the expense is on us. They get all the blessing. That's gospel love. That's what the Jubilee sale is all about. July 18th, 60 days. Put it on the calendar. Come, be a greeter. It's an exciting day to see somebody's face because they don't know it's free when they get here. They just know deep discount. That's what they know. And we tell them everything's free, and then you tell them why. It's an opportunity to be daring. Now, that's July 18th, 60 days. In between now and then, we're collecting clothes. Pastor Steve talked to you about the boxes. Fill them up 60 times. We need tons of clothes. in the collecting of the clothes, I want to give you some tips. Guess what the tips are going to be? Opportunities to be daring. Garage sales going on all around. Show up at the garage sale. Ask them when it ends. Come back at the end of it and say, listen, our church is having a clothing sale. This is how it goes. We give everything away for free so we can tell people about the love of Jesus. Would you help us spread the gospel in your neighborhood? That's all you got to say. And then we're going to have some receipts for you to give them and say, you can get a tax deduction for this. You fill it out, put in the amount. Give us all your clothes. And if they don't want to do that, say, okay, can I make you an offer? Can I buy your clothes for $100, $50, whatever? And then the church will pay for it. Just tell me what it costs and we'll pay for it. An opportunity to be daring. Jesus is the hope of the world. We know Him. And He wants to make us fishers of men. Can't go that way. You ready? Let's have the worship team back up. The Savior is calling. He's calling us to go from the shallow end to the deep end. We do that through obedience. Learning who we are. Servants of the King. Getting into the habit of saying yes to God. Those are the lessons. And then as you do that, opportunities will come along. They will be difficult things. To sacrifice yourself. To submit to people that are not worthy to submit to. And to suffer under them. To love them the way Jesus has loved us. And there's a huge growth opportunity there. And then there's the opportunity to be daring. We'll have some big things to do for God. It's going to feel big. You know, to Him, it's not a big deal. You just, to Him, He's on the ground going, what's your problem? Jump. And then He'll jump with you. But we got to be daring. He's the one that does the saving. All we got to do is lead Him. Lead Him to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that we have the opportunity today to do life with You. To know You, to walk with You, to be Your hands, Your feet, Your voice. Lord, open our eyes to the things You call us to do, the small things, the simple things. Convict us in our heart, Lord, to be servants, to own that identity, to serve You with our whole life. We know there's opportunity right in front of us that is hard. Hard things to do. Maybe we don't even have it in us to walk that road that You're calling us to walk. To sacrifice ourselves in some way to show people Your love by pouring ourselves out. Lord, fix our eyes on You. Help us to know how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for us. Let us dive down deep into that to bend our will. We love because You first loved us. And Lord, you know, today, so many in the world today need to know You. They need to hear about Jesus. And they've never heard. So many don't even know about what He's done for them, what He will do in them. Lord, lead us to those people today. Shine Your light through us. Help us to be daring and speak Your name today to someone who needs to know. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.